Friends, our next reading, second reading, comes from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. If not familiar words, certainly a familiar story. This is in the aftermath of the angel's visit to Mary, Mary's visit to Elizabeth, and as Doug mentioned, this is sometimes called Mary's song, the word that Luke uses. People in the Gospel of Luke during the Christmas stories break out into these kind of poetical verses, and sometimes it's translated they said, and sometimes it's translated they sang, and this is one of those. I like the idea that people spontaneously sing, so that's how I'm going to read it, not sing it, read it. But I would invite you to listen to it and listen in it for what God says to us through it. Then Mary sang, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary then stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, give to me words worthy of this moment and give to us hearts open to your word, that it may be true that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together would be acceptable, even pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So during this Advent, this Christmas season, Michael and I have been working on this series, the Light of Christmas, focusing on light. Maybe what Tripp dug up this morning is, I will confess, I kind of shoehorned the first passage into it. Matthew's passage is not a Christmas passage, but it's one of my favorites, and I think it is one of the great light passages in the New Testament. As Jesus tells the disciples, "You are the light of the world. Don't hide that light. Let your good works shine before others." In other words, reminding us all and constantly that the task of Christians is to shine, to reflect the light of Christ into the world. I don't know how good we are at that sometimes, if I'm being honest. It could be just me, my own struggles. It could be the algorithms of my online stuff. It could just be what sticks in my head. But I will confess to you that it feels to me like I hear a lot of Christians talk about how bad things are, how dark things are, about who's got it wrong and how dangerous they are. I often get told by people that things are getting worse, and I know that that certainly at times feels very true. But I wonder if we don't hear enough from faith people about this fundamental idea of light shining, of light sharing. This calling that we all have to reflect Jesus into the world. And my fear is that if Christians focus too much on what's wrong and not enough on what's good, then we will fail to share how good God is. As a pastor once said, it is impossible to love people when you're too busy judging them. And I know in my own experience, you can't really be joyful and at the same time. It doesn't work. So I think I've come to believe that Christianity might be better off if more of us had more focus on sharing Christ's light. Now, I'm not sure that I've connected that specifically with Christmas before, certainly not in the way I'm going to try to do this morning, but the past couple weeks with this sermon on the horizon, I've been thinking about Mary. And if you're Protestant, you know that we're a little cautious when it comes to Mary. We're a little careful with our Mary ideas. When we left the Catholic Church, we were a little suspicious of some of the things they believed about Mary, so we left most of our Mary ideas behind us. But when we did, I wonder if we kind of overdid it. We don't really give Mary a lot of due in the Protestant Church. She gets mentioned in the Christmas stories. We have the pink candle here. It's really the joy candle, but you'll hear it referred to sometimes as the Mary candle. But mostly, we take it kind of easy with our Mary stuff. And biblically, that's actually not hard to do. We don't know much about Mary. We don't really know anything about her. She appears to be from Nazareth, or at least she's living there at some point. She is from, we think, the larger region of Judea. The name Mary is the new form of the Hebrew word Miriam. She's named after Moses' sister. Scholars argue about whether that name means beloved or bitter. Some say it means both. But it's a popular name in her day. There are at least six Marys in the New Testament. We know that she's engaged to this man, Joseph, who is evidently in the line of David. We find out later from somebody that he's a carpenter. In Luke, she has a family connection of some kind to John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth. And that's really about it. That's the end of our Bible facts. We can take some guesses. You've probably heard this, but statistically, for her day and time, she's probably in her mid to late teens. Luke kind of implies that she and Joseph are toward the low end of the income scales. There's a kind of insinuation that maybe they're not high up the ladder. And you would think that between the two books that tell the Christmas stories, we'd get more Mary details. You would think they would have said more about her. You would expect that at least one of them would address the question, why her in the first place? Why does God choose this woman? Of all the women in that part of the world, of all the Israelites, why would it be this particular young lady? Nowhere in the Bible is she credited with wild spiritual gifts. Nowhere does it suggest that she's especially devout or somehow extra holy. By all indications, no one tells us otherwise, she seems to be a pretty regular person. Except, of course, the obvious fact that when God decides the time has come and the Savior is coming, and where God decides, for whatever reason, that to do this, he's going to partner with a human family and a mother. He selects Mary to deliver his incarnate son. Of all the women that it could have been, it is before young Mary that the angel arrives and says, "Greetings, highly favored one," and outlines the plan, which to her had to sound crazy. And Mary has questions, but unlike Zechariah, she's not punished for asking them, perhaps suggesting that her questions are more logistical than doubtful. And scholars and Bible readers have had this conversation back and forth for a long time. Does Mary have a choice? On the one hand, God is not big on giving people God calls to things outs. Think Jonah, think Moses, think Paul. On the other hand, it seems uncomfortable if Mary is forced to do this. If she has to, without being able to make a decision. It's not a simple question. But fortunately, it's one that only matters philosophically. Because Mary says yes. With all creation kind of hanging in the moment, the plan of salvation, this young girl says these words, "I'm the Lord's servant, let it happen according to your word." Which is, I think, perhaps the greatest thing that we can say about Mary. When God invited, she agreed. She said yes. To be a part of God's crazy sounding plan and to do God's will, beyond all the theology questions and the Mary doctrines, this might be the most impressive thing about this very otherwise regular young woman who isn't a kind of superhero, but in that moment of decision, says yes to what God has asked. And that's not to say that Mary isn't impressive. She is. The passage I read this morning, it's called the Magnificat, Mary's Song. It's among the most beautiful passages in Scripture. Mary cries out praise for what God is doing, what God promises to do. "My soul magnifies the Lord." She continues with grateful and joyful worship. It is a beautiful celebration of God's promise. Mary sings out her hopes, food for the hungry, help for the struggling, mercy for God's people. I would challenge you to read those words again sometime today. And when you do, and you hear them, you listen to them, you read them, imagine the voice is the voice of a teenage girl. That is wild and amazing. At an age when many of the girls we know are trying to find their phones and they're forgetting their homework and they're saying things that make us scratch our heads, this girl is saying yes to giving birth to the Son of God and spontaneously singing some of the most poetic, beautiful praise ever written. Do me a favor this year when you set out your nativity, or maybe you already have, try this. Take a look at Mary. We don't know what she looked like, but take a look at that figure in your manger. And think about a teenage girl whose life is turned upside down when God said, "Mary, I want you to bear my son." We don't know a lot about Mary, but I promise you this, whatever her plans were, that wasn't it. That wasn't on her list. She never saw that coming. Think about what that meant, how terrifying and confusing it was. Think about all the reasons that she could have come up with to say, "Look, I don't feel good about this. I don't feel comfortable with this. Could you pick someone else?" But instead, this young lady says yes. And because she does, we have Christmas. Maybe as much as anyone else in Scripture, when we see Mary, we see a person reflecting the light of Christ. Literally bringing the light of Christ into the world. And maybe the message for us from this young girl's story is to say yes to God. We tend to look at Christmas by what we receive, the gift that is for us. But maybe Mary helps us consider what we give. Reminds us of our task to participate in the plan of God. When that child grows up, He says things like, forgive those who wrong you. Love the people you would love to hate instead. Bless your enemies. Don't curse others, even if they curse you first. Go the extra mile. Forgive 77 times. Don't worship money or chase power. Don't forget those who struggle and suffer, but help them instead. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick, and care about the people that most people don't care about. Let your light shine before others so they will see me. Our job, friends, is to say yes. To say yes to those crazy sounding things that this Christ child goes on to say. To muster the faith of a teenage girl and say, I'm your servant. Let it be with me as you have said. It's just a few days now, friends, until Christmas. And all the wonderful crazy that goes with it. But in the midst of these last few days, I challenge you. I encourage you. Carve out a few minutes to think about this incredible young woman who said yes to what God wanted her to do and to be. And think about what it means that she did. Think about what it means that Mary said yes. And as you do, think about what God asks of us and whether or not we are willing to agree to it. Because in order for the light of Christ to shine through us, we must first say yes to it. Merry Christmas. Amen.